I've been known to enjoy a rum from time to time. It's pretty good stuff. Goes with most things, most scenarios, right? Like, you can't go wrong with rum. Well, maybe you can't go wrong with rum. But at least in the spirit of having good times, it usually starts out with a good night and things not intending to go wrong with rum, at least not in the fun way. Joining me to talk about this conversation and what the hell are you talking about, Shane? Well, rum going up for auction for a couple $1,000s, in fact. Druid's Managing Director Jonathan Pratt joins us from the UK. And the conversation is really kind of cool because we are literally, we're talking about rum. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Jonathan, you guys have not only just rum, there is incredibly historic rum. That's going up for auction. Help us understand, because we're not talking about, hey, by the way, here's a bottle of rum, have a good day. This isn't historic stuff.
Yeah, this isn't sort of just rum you've got down from the off license. You know, it's naval rum, and it's basically three kegs from the last ever batch that was given by the Ministry of Defence to the Royal Navy in 1970. So it was a tradition that ran from 1655, and it was basically given out to the naval officers, and it picked up throughout pretty much for the next 80 years. It ran as a tradition for a few hundred years.
So a bribe, if you will, keep everybody peaceful or keep everybody friendly or maybe keep everybody dancing, I don't know, on these ships for all of these decades leading up to 1970. Is there a history as to why it was rum?
Well, yes, because obviously the Royal Navy, they obviously they travel around the world, and it started back in the West Indies in 1655, and they used rum because actually it was abundant anyhow. Obviously, it's a byproduct of the sugar industry, which was booming at the time, and but it's also stable in hot temperatures, unlike beer and wines. So they could carry it in a barrel, and then they used it to administer essentially lemon juice, you know, because scurvy was rife in the Navy with the lack of vitamin C. So they used it to sort of, I don't know, maybe make the lime, the lemon easier to palate. But it's quite strong stuff, you know. I mean, this is like they're giving out, it may sound like not like a lot, but, you know, at about 11 o'clock in the morning, they're given this tot of rum, which is an eighth of a pint. Now, an eighth of a pint isn't, I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's a few mouthfuls, whatever, but it's actually, this rum is 50% alcohol.
Oh, so wow.
It's like necking a large glass of wine at 11 o'clock in the morning every day.
Yeah. Hey, so Jonathan, you're over in the UK and we're talking about rum here. Yeah. I don't know about you, but you talk about rum being more stable in hot temperatures. I've never been afraid of my rum being not stable. The only thing is if somebody knocked it over. I mean, so that's new that's new information for me. But I guess in history, when you're looking at, you know, casks of things, making sure they don't go bad or change too much, that sort of makes sense when the Navy was giving out this rum to sort of make everybody, well, happy. And but by the way, with scurvy, it was either eat grass or have a little bit of fruit mixed in with your rum. So I would rather have the rum.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm with you on that one, actually. I don't know how that would actually fare if I started eating grass. So, you know, when they actually got rid of this tradition in 1970, ever since, on the 31st of July, officers have celebrated the day or mourned the day. In fact, the day that it happened, they started wearing black armband, and every year they mourn this day as Black Top Day to sort of celebrate the sort of the loss of tradition. Because actually, after that, they were just allowed to have three pints of beer offshore, so onshore rather, you know, and that was it. You know, so suddenly it moved to beer, which I don't know if really sort of
well, that's fun.
know, less traditional, isn't it? Or maybe it is in England, anyway. But
certainly. So, well, no, I would agree. I mean, at least for this. Okay, so this kind of rum that we're talking about and the history of these particular... Now, some of these words are new to me, too, which is kind of neat to learn this, Jonathan. Is it flagon? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's flagon, yeah. Yeah, it's
okay, cool.
Big barrel. If you were to look at them, they're almost like hampers. If you know what a hamper is, it's a wicker. Yep. It's like a cylindrical wicker basket with handles and a domed top, which would enclose this sort of pottery flagon or barrel.
So how big is when I'm thinking barrel, I'm thinking like wine cask, huge. These are more tabletop, large, bottles, if you will, or what's another item you could compare them to in size?
Now that's a difficult question, actually, because our sale isn't on view yet, and I haven't actually seen them. They're in the store. But I think they're reasonable size. Like they're not bottle size.
They're larger than a football.
It's me. Yeah, no, they have to be much bigger than that. I mean, they are barrel size. They have to be that big because otherwise you've got all these. Your boat would be awash with them, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, that's not a terrible thing either. So, hey, Ryan, what are those, what do you call it, Ryan, when you go to the craft breweries and you get your beer, your growler style bottle, like what's that called? Do you know what those are called?
I usually just a bottle, like the larger bottles. I just usually say a taste bottle or wine size bottle of beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we get these, we call them growlers here, but they're more like a, I imagine them to be similar to these. Of course, they're made of glass, not this sort of wicker woven old school. Now that's what these are. These are old school bottles of rum from how long ago and how much money do you figure they're going to fetch at auction?
Well, it's actually hard to actually say how old these are because, I mean, you know, when you make a soup sometimes, there's a little bit left. And so you make another one and you keep using the previous one. These are blends of blends of blends of blends. So so it's hard to actually say how old they are. But, the rum's provenance before the 20th century is very difficult to trace. But these are fairly old. These presumed would have come from British Guyana. And Trinidad, where they're mostly made, but they would have been bottled, not far off when they were delivered. Actually, mm-hmm. The value wise, they're wicker covers. So they're actually quite nice to look at, and that would obviously to protect them, whilst they're on the ship. We're selling them as three lots, and they are £1,500 to £2,500 each.
Wow. So if I bought a lot, I would pay.
It tastes quite nice.
Like 75. If I with three per lot, I would buy. I would be paying £7,500 then if I bought a lot. Is that what you're saying?
Well, each flagon is £1,500. So if you bought them all on their reserve, let's call it, then you'd be paying £4,500 plus the auction fee.
This is fascinating. Three flagons of very rare rum, the last batch ever issued by the British Ministry of Defense to sailors at the Royal Navy, part of this whole daily tot of rum, is going up for auction. And this is quite fascinating to think. So is this going to be done in person or online only? Because I'm a little worried that if it's happening in person, you have a bunch of drunk sailors show up trying to buy these things, Jonathan.
Oh, that'd be great fun, though, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd relish to we could have a sing along, couldn't we? It's a live auction. I mean, so it drew it. So we're based in the south of England, in a big town called Newbury, not far from London. And our sales are predominantly live auctions. We have fine sales of paintings, fine sales of furniture. We do have online sales, but this is a live auction with a live auctioneer. You can go to our website and you can watch the auction live and the auctioneer selling them, and yes, you can probably hear the drunk sailors in the background dancing and singing at the same time. Yeah.
Do you figure this is a end of an era, or is it sort of just adds the perfect punctuation to this mystical time of everyone having a few shots in the morning?
I think the era ended anyway, obviously, when they started transferring it over to beer and not rum. I mean, there's a lot of traditions that have been lost. And I think possibly it's that sort of political correctness that we're all facing in our society today. If you watch there's a lot of traditions in the UK that we try and uphold. I think it's harder to probably say, you know, a tot of 50% rum at 11 o'clock in the morning when you're steering a massive naval frigate around, you know, the Indian Ocean or something. It's probably not good advice these days. Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. Okay. Have you ever heard of Jonathan Pratt's, Druitt's managing director at the auction house that's, selling off these flagons of rum? Now, have you ever heard of the fitness program 75 Hard, Jonathan? Have you ever heard of that?
75 Hard? No, I haven't. No.
Yeah, it's a program. It's a fitness program. It's, you sign up for this program and you sort of commit to, you're going to do 75 days of two workouts a day and you're going to do all these things. And if you miss a day, you start over your count. So 75 days. And I was just thinking, Jonathan, you and I.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We could take on like our own 75 hard, 75 days of morning tots of rum in a row. Yeah. And then you and I could see how we're doing at the end of those 75 days.
I think at the end of the 75 days, I'll be covered in tattoos. I'll probably look like Captain Pugwash.
I love it.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd actually really, I've got to drive to work as well. That's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, see, but it's a good time.
I'm wimping out here, aren't I? Sorry.
Yeah, you're. What? I really like how you're truly evaluating your day, going, well, wait a second. Can I get drunk at 11 o'clock in the morning and get away with it? This would be all right.
Well, I'm not a student anymore. I mean, you know, you could do that when you were a student. You know, that was called a hangover cure, but not anymore.
Not anymore. This is fantastic. Jonathan, thanks so much. What's the website again so we can make sure everybody gets a chance to look at everything? And we'll put the links up to at our community group, shiftheads.ca, for everyone to look at. But where does everyone go to see the Druitts?
It's www.druitts, and that's druitts.com. And can I just say, I'm standing in for my colleague Mark Robinson, who's, you may have heard, he's not well and unable to take the call today, and I just wanted to just wish him the very best and a speedy recovery.
Yes, us too, and thank you for pinch hitting for that. You know, we were looking forward to having him, but we're glad to have you here too. Thanks, Jonathan.
And he knows a lot more about wine than me, I can tell you, and rum.
Well, we'll get him back on. We will make good on that. I appreciate that. Have a fantastic day today, sir.
And you too. Take care.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.